Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to this program, our interview segment. It is the 21st of Safar 1446. Let's welcome our Honorable Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Saab Damat Barakatuhu. Mufti Saab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa zaid khan. Jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Saab just got back from Zambia, so inshallah we'll be discussing Zambia. Mufti Saab, I'm sure this was probably the second time you've left since COVID. You left the country. I think the last time was Maputo.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. هذا من فضل ربي هذا رحمة من ربي It's not we, what can we do? It's only the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Ula. We should travel 4, 5, 6 times sometimes in a year overseas and so forth and so on, my wife and myself. And then, as far as Umrah Hajj goes, the last Hajj was 2019 when it rained abundantly that day in Arafat for 2 hours, 2 o'clock to 4. And then in March we performed Umrah, you know, in the beginning. And then I went to Mauritius. Then when we came back after a few days, it was lockdown. And that was 2 dates we must always remember as South Africans. April 27, 1994 was the elections for democracy. And March 27, 2000 was for the first time in the history of South Africa. We had lockdown and so forth and so on. So thereafter 2020, I didn't travel, 2021 I didn't. 2022, I went to Maputo, there was some Jalsa and all, and they said, come please, please. So I said, okay, let me go. I went alone. And then this about 2-3 months ago, in this year, I went to Lesotho, to Maseru and so forth. I flew from here to Bloemfontein, and then mashallah, then I came back. So now, mashallah, our brothers from Rustenburg, you know, Haji Suleiman, Yaqub, his son Muhammad, he qualified, graduated there in Spingo Beach. So mashallah, I used to stay there behind my sister in their flats, like, you know. So I used to meet him there sometimes and so forth. So he came with his father and 3 of us went. So it was a very good trip, Allah Ta'ala reward them. And now we went, so now we're starting our travels again and so forth. So I was looking at the airport last night, I was tired. I said, after very long I'm coming here, you know, to the O.R. Tambo airport and on arrivals and so forth. So anyway, it was very interesting and inshallah, we'll start increasing the travels, especially those countries where we don't need visas and so forth and so on. And Zambia, I think this must be a 3rd or 4th trip, I'm not sure. But another added dimension is Livingston, where you have the waterfall, you have the Victoria Falls, the Zimbabwe side, and you have the Zambian side. So that's why I also want to go. And the Imam there, mashallah, is an avid listener, maybe he's listening now also, Sheikh Shu'aib and his family, that he was telling me he's listening to us for 15, 16 years already, you know. From General's time and so forth and so on. So all these were factors that came in, and then I said, no, let me just go. It was very, very good trip with Allah's help, Allah's mercy, Allah Ta'ala accepted, you know, made it easy for me.
Ameen. So Mufti Saab, the first place that you reached in Zambia?
You must remember, whenever you go to Zambia, you'll end up there in Lusaka. So they have an airport and so forth. Now you need to understand, you know, what we call geopolitics and so forth. America's whole aim is what? They must be the groot baas. They must be the big boss. So what they will do, they have small places, small countries, they will put bases, they will put this, to try and intimidate people. If you don't do what we tell you, then we can make regime change, we can upset the apple cart and so forth. But the Chinese guys, they worked very smart, you see. What they did, they went to these countries, made them a deal they can't really refuse, and enhanced their infrastructure. So when you land there, you know, in Lusaka, as soon as we landed, so I told Haji Yaqub and Muhammad, And he said, this airport has been built by the Chinese. Understand? And when you're coming, like yesterday we came, now they got like a highway, then you land by, come by the airport. I said, this also built by the Chinese, you see. So, and they said, yes, it's the truth. So the point that I'm making is we need to understand these things. So what happens is, it is politics at play. But the Chinese approach is much better than the American one. So America has become a hated nation now because of see what they are doing to Palestinians and Israel. Israel on its own can never beat them. What America's help and all that, 11 months coming now, and they still can't beat them. So it shows, you know, they are the biggest terrorists and so forth and what have you. But the China, none of the China are not oppressing people. Obviously, they're oppressing Muslims. But they play their cards very smartly, you see. And then the collateral and a lot of things involved. If these guys can't service their debts and what, they'll start just, you understand, like confiscating and start, you know, taking everything back and so forth, come to their name, like. So whether it's their harbor, whether it is their airport, whether it's their whatever, you know, countries that have harbors and so forth. So like that it works out too. So that is the main thing. But the countries, I think, nowadays also have realized that America is not, they want 2/3, 80-90% in their favor, and you end up with the crumbs, you know. So, yeah, they seem to get a better deal with China and so forth, because these guys, they are overpopulated. So they want their population to go into various countries, and they'll invest in that country as well. So it is like a win-win situation for both parties and both countries and so forth.
Mufti Sahib, in the Islam in Zambia?
I must tell you these four or five things. I was thinking last night when we were coming back, what should I discuss? So I said, let us discuss Zambia. Everything is fresh in my head, you know, my brain. And as time goes, you start forgetting. Now, Zambia, you have to divide it into three parts, basically. One is the Indian Muslims, right? They're so long, over 100 years and all this kind of thing. They are, generally I'm speaking about, Indian Muslim. They are in that category, وَجَعَلَكُمْ مُلُوكَ. Allah made them like kings, you understood? They got beautiful mansions, houses, farms, and they got wonderful businesses, flourishing businesses. I'm not saying all, but we speak of majority, you know? So they do it exceptionally, exceptionally well. Another thing you must know, Zaid and the esteemed listeners of Merkaz, that the whole year is summer there. It's like Durban, you know. When I went there now, I left here, we arrived there Tuesday night. Then we came here yesterday, last night we came. So 5 nights basically. Not one day did I wear jersey there. But it's supposed to be winter. You know, no Fajr time, no Isha time, nothing. You understood? So wonderful, wonderful weather, excellent weather, you know. So that's one. Two is this, that there's no crime there. When you speak of crime, I mean petty theft and that will take place. But you won't hear that, you know, there is kidnapping, hijacking, or, you know, that people just coming and robbing your houses or shops with AK-47s and you don't hear those things there, you see. So that's a very, very big plus, you must remember. The weather is a big plus also. Their currency is kwacha. So if you give 100 rand, you understood, say to a person, or what, then he'll give you 140 kwacha, is 1.4 to the rand. So you get 140 kwacha. So South Africans is much more stronger compared to them, but they're doing quite well. And then another thing you must know is now the African Muslim. You see, if you break up Zambia, and you look at the population and, you know, the infrastructure and all that. So, Allahu A'lam, some people told me 14 million, some said 15, some said 16, some said even more. So, let's work on 15, 16 million people in the entire country. Muslims, you take all. That whether it is, you understand, the Indian Muslim, African Muslim, Arab Muslim, all Muslims. So, maximum you will go to is 140,000. You understood? 140,000. So you take 14, 15 million and you take 140,000. So it means you're sitting at 1%. You follow what I'm saying? So now that was one gripe I had with them. I said that you're here over a century, but how come you are not really increasing? So the to put it bluntly, they are doing a lot, you understand, for the locals. But if you look at it holistically, then you will say much more could have been done. You understand what I'm saying? Speaking about the Masajid de Maulana, beautiful, wonderful Masajid. I'll just tell you the Masjid I read Salat in. So yesterday our last Salat in the Masjid was Masjid Khadijatul Kubra. And that area is like an elitist area, Ilahi or something. So they told me, now, Aprejai, Aprejai. They speak Gujarati, Surti language with Tajweed there. Like all the Mamans, they speak, you know, Maman in Malawi, you know. So now they speak properly, so with Tajweed and that. So here also, they all were children and that. Some places they're losing it, but generally they still got it, that they know how to speak and preserve their culture, tradition and language and what have you. So well done to them for that. The thing that concerns me is this, that the African Muslim, the black Muslim, according to me, they are getting neglected a bit. You understood? There, we need to do something. So what I proposed yesterday, therefore yesterday on A, is this. You take young ulama, like yourself. You're in the 20s, 30s, or, you know, and you don't have children. Then it's all the better. If you got one son or one daughter or something, small families, it's also all right. Then you go there and you don't work in the major centers. You don't work there in, you know, Lusaka or King, this thing, the Livingston area where the falls are and that. You don't go work in the metropolitan. You go to the outskirts and you work there. It is also sacrifice, but that is how you can change the status quo, you know. So, but you have to go with your wife. So she can do work with the daughters and children, and you can do with the men and the adults and so forth. So that is something that came very strongly in my heart, in my mind, you know, that we need to, you see, today to put masjid up all the time, so it's not going to solve our problem in this sense. We need to educate and re-educate the people. So that is what we can do, and it is achievable if you really want to do it. So anyway, so that was, you know, regarding the financial side, regarding the weather, regarding the question, you know, you asked and so forth. So on the whole, I was very impressed with Zambia, to be honest, you know. But even at the airport, when you're coming out, they go to Musalla room and very nice. And very, very impressed, you know, I was, you know. So it was like a good eye-opener, if you want to call it, the Zambia for me personally.
Mufti Saab, as well, we know a lot of students are going from South Africa. They're going to study in Zambia. They're becoming dentists in different fields because here the requirements are quite heavy. So there they go to study. What advice Mufti Saab can give these people? Maybe they can also do something and speak to the locals there and increase Islam.
I was speaking about the masajid, we'll come to the question you posed. You know, if you go to the Jami Masjid, I asked them how old is the Jami Masjid, 63 years old. You know, I mean, and it's well maintained. Masjid Umar, we had program, Masjid Jami, we had in, you know, that Makeni, so we had program there. Masjid Tawheed, we had program. All these here, immaculate condition. They're building 2-3 other masjids there, you know, Masjid Bilal, they're building, 1-2 others they're building. So a lot of activity like that is going on, you know. And they're a wealthy community, you know, the Indian Muslim, and who are there, and they do very, very well, you know. So that's one side of the whole thing. Second side, if you look at it, I'm just answering your question from another way. The Darulums, so they have a Darulum there, it's called Jamia Islamia. Maulana Yusuf Saab is the principal. I had a program there also. So it was Thursday or something after Asr. So anyway, so or Friday, I'm not sure. So we had a program there and I spoke to them about Quran and so forth and so on, you know. So there, that Darul Uloom was inspired like by Newtown Madrasa, Binuri Town Madrasa. That most of the ulama who studied there graduated from there. Therefore, in their jalsas, and then they called them from there, invited them from there. But now, Maulana Salim Dorat, the one in Leicester, you know. So some ulama got very good taluk, awam also public, but Hazrat Maulana there in Leicester. So in the You know, this Mawlana Salim Dorat's supervision, they built another Darul Uloom, Masjid Falah and Darul Uloom Falah. So I read Salat there, we did program there, and we had like a, you know, Q&A and all that. So it's very good. You must remember that that is what they're doing. Then in McKinney, I asked them, where's the South African doctor who's there for many, many years? Then they said, Nimale, he's not there. So Dr. Musa. So afterwards, we came to realize that he, you know, went to visit his family in South Africa or so forth. So therefore, he didn't know, like, you know, which date I might be coming, or maybe it was fixed before. So anyway, so that is what happened. You find students going to Zambia from other parts of Africa to study Islam, you know, Quran, Sharif, Sunnah, Fiqh, all that. Then you get other students from other parts of the world, including South Africa, who want to study secular sciences, let's call it that, you understood? So is that something we should encourage or not? So we can't encourage a thing like that, because what happens is that they might have, you know, some good points and good things, or like, you know, other in strong points. But when you look at it properly, you will see that it is something that is undermining our Iman, our Islam, and so forth and so on. So therefore, we will not encourage people. Now imagine a lady, I know, that somebody, you must remember, to send their daughter there, and now for medicine or whatever. And then, I don't know, she failed or whatever, she wasn't happy. So now they brought her back. She was sent back to her house. So one day is gone wasted. Now they look for institution. The problem with us is, we want the recognition by people. And we, instead of pleasing Allah Ta'ala, pleasing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so, and we'll be recognized by them, those are the ones, the issues that we should really emphasize upon ourselves and for the masses also. That these are the main things in life that you have to, you understand, prepare yourself in this world for the year after. Then, inshallah, things will happen, and that is what we should emphasize and inculcate in the people. I just give you a statistic, you'll be shocked. I mean, reliable people told me, not one, two, several. They said, like now in the past 3, 4, 5 years, you know, that so many girls and ladies are getting divorced and talaq and so forth. So, I mean, if somebody tells you that, so what will you say? But what is the main cause, you know? So he said the main cause is Jamia, you understand? That is the girls, madrasa, Darul Uloom and all that. So, I can't say he's wrong, but maybe the percentage he made is too high. He said 95%, you know, that nowadays the marriages are just breaking and so forth. So anyway, you know, now went to discussion with the owner and what have you. So, because, you know, he was also there and this type of things. So, that when you ask the people that what is the real reason for this talaq and our Muslim society imploding, so you will see that it is ana khairum min business. That everybody wants to become the leader. Everybody wants to become a chief. So the lady says, now she's an alima, hafiz or whatever, studied mu'allima. She'll tell her husband, you don't know sharia, you jahil. Now which husband every day, once a week, is going to accept that? You know? One day you'll get fed up and you'll just write out the talaq and whatever. So we need something in our madaris to teach these young girls. You can't be telling your husband that I'm an alima and you're a jahil and so forth and so on, and then you are to spend the remainder of your life with him. So, I mean, this is the problems that come about, you see. Another highlight was, that is when I'll speak about all this in detail, day by day what happened, but in the report back, but just for your information, because you will be busy maybe that time in the afternoon. So I asked Mufti Ridwan, the main people that we dealt with, they were Mufti Ridwan, Nu'mani, he helped us a lot. And by Imtiaz, Haji Imtiaz, he used to perform Hajj with us, he's still performing Hajj. So maybe 10 or more Hajj we were together. So I said, I know he was the Amir of the Hujjaj when it came to walking and so forth. So but now things have changed a little bit. And then, so I asked, which embassies are here? So they said the Saudi Arabia, the Egyptian, I'm not interested. Then they said a Palestinian embassy. I said, very good, make appointment with him. So that was Wednesday. So then Thursday he said, we must come there 3:30 or 3 o'clock or something. So oh yeah, the police stopped us when we went there. So we supposed to be there 3 o'clock, then we landed up at past 3 or something, called 3:30. And we had the ambassador, is not a Muslim, the Christian person, male. And so we had a good heart-to-heart. I told him, Mr. Ambassador, we're not here to discuss you right, he's right, he's wrong. I, as a person, am asking you, you representing the state of Palestine. One thing I learned from discussing with him, he said, we are an embassy here, and we, you understand, have proper ambassadors and, you know, all this type of thing. You say you take a country like England or America or these countries, they don't recognize Palestine, but Palestine will have a mission. They'll have a mission office, you know, like in London or wherever, but not, it's not at the level of an embassy. But there will be a mission there and all that. So that person will be called commissioner or something like that. So that is something. But I told him, my main concern to meet you, Mr. Ambassador, is I am on the radio. How can I inform my people, our people, that this is A, B, C, D, E, F, that we must try and help our brothers, sisters, children in Afghanistan, in Palestine. So how can we assist them besides giving monetary aid, you know, how to see. So he gave one two good ideas and so forth and so on. So it was very good. Certain things are off the record, obviously. But on the whole, it was very good. And I asked him, do you mind if I take your name or I speak? I said, no, you can go ahead, no problem. I said, I appreciate what you did for us, but I don't want to jeopardize your situation and position also. So it was a very, very, like one of the highlights of the trip, you know. And then, mashallah, the people there for Hajj, you know, they got a quota, 450. But you know how much the Hajj cost, Mawlana Zaid? For one person, $10,000. So it's over 200,000 rand per person in our South African currency, excluding the ticket. So now I asked him now, you know, now how you made a deal like that? I mean, if you're paying 200,000 minimum, besides all your shopping and that, so shouldn't the ticket be at least included? And so he said, yeah, but they are forced to go to those three agents, like they must choose now. So 150, 150, 150. It is shared evenly among them, and that is how, you must remember, people go for Hajj every year, because the quota never gets full. You know? It's very difficult, because people, you know, that can't afford it, and what have you, and so forth, and so on. But anyway, Allah Ta'ala make it easy, and Almighty Allah protect the Haramain Sharifain, protect Masjid al-Aqsa, and all our holy places and masajid. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil.
جزاكم الله خيرا انتم مفتي صاحب السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته